Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
For Thanksgiving, and so we are definitely wanting to prepare ourselves for a time of fun and fellowship with our family as well. We began the series with a sermon called A Seat at the Table. A Seat at the Table. We looked at the disciples, in essence, for the Last Supper, and we looked at some of those who were sitting at the table, and we talked about the fact that the reality, some of them should not have been there, all of them should not have been there, but God loved them enough that he invited them to the table. That particular sermon, we had it a little unique. The pulpit, the stand was removed. We had a table up here with some chairs, and I sat down at each seat and described their story. Then on last Sunday, we shared in the sermon called A Family Affair, and we, in essence, looked at sibling rivalry, talking about the prodigal son and the older brother's issues. So that's one part of family. And so today we're going to continue in this series. And so if you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I will invite you to turn with me to Joshua chapter number four. Joshua chapter number four. And when you have, we ask that you would stand to honor the reading of God's word. I'd like to say, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android, Galaxy, Google Glass, Google Watch, or an actual Bible, we invite you to turn, to scroll, flip to Joshua chapter number four. It's also on your screen as well. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New International Version. When you have it, say amen. If you are still looking, say hold up. All right, everyone has it. Here's what it says. Joshua chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Verse number 6 says again, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seat, will you do me a favor? Smile, put a smile on your face. Smile at me first, and you can practice your smile. There we go. Smile, smile, smile. All right. Put a smile on your face and look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is, I have it for a reason. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. If you don't know him, say, hey, introduce yourself to him. Say, hi, neighbor. Good morning. Glad to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is, I have it for a reason. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I have it for a reason. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have it for a reason. As I was preparing this sermon, I thought about something. It's very simple. It's very basic. It's very easy. If I were to take everyone's cell phone and then ask you to remember some of the numbers in your phone, all of us would fail. And there was a time that you had everybody's phone number programmed in your mind. You can call mom and them, grandmom and them, cousins and aunties. But now if I asked you to call your second cousin, you would have no. If I asked you to call your best friend, you would not remember the number, because technology has helped us to forget a lot of things. Now, I'm a tech guy. I'm all into technology. But some things we would do well to remember. Some stories we would do well to know. In families, there is something called a family narrative. A family narrative. Family narratives are those stories that we tell ourselves. You may have a family that says, hey, in this family, these are things that we do. This is how we carry ourselves. This is how we present ourselves. It's a family narrative. The other day, I had to go get a physical. I'm married, and so Miss Ball, she wants me to live a little bit longer, and so she fussed long enough to make sure I went to get a physical. So to show my love for her, to show her how much I cared for her. In other words, for fellas to understand this, for her to stop fussing at me, I went ahead and I got myself a physical. When I went in there, I had to fill out this family story, in essence, about the sicknesses in the family. And I checked off one thing that I knew. That's the only thing I knew. My grandmother had high blood pressure. That was it. And so the lady said to me, no, sir, you're supposed to do your whole family. And I said to her, ma'am, I did. Because reality is, that's all I knew. Grandmother had high blood pressure. Now, anybody else's story? I don't know. And one of the reasons I did not know was only because we don't tell those stories. That's a simple story about health. But the reality is, some of us watch children relive stories that we've already experienced because we don't tell our stories. Grandmama and them will sit at a kitchen table and watch you go through what they went through, but never tell you, baby, this is how I overcame, this is how I made it. And so I want to encourage us as we're getting ready for the holiday season to not miss a moment to share our family narrative. Yes. Tell somebody how I got over. Yes. There was a story of a man who used to walk on the beach in Florida. Sun would set, and generally speaking, the beach would be fairly empty. This man, his name was Eddie Rickenbacker. You can research him if you want to. Eddie Rickenbacker. He would go every Friday evening as people began to leave the beach and the sun would be going down. He would go on the beach and he would carry this pail of shrimp. Every Friday evening, he would walk along the beach. One day, he was walking, and this little boy came out walking his dog. He saw the man. He noticed the man before, but this time, he ran up to him and he said, sir, if you don't mind my asking, why do you have that bucket of shrimp? Mr. Eddie Rickenbacker began to tell this young man his story. He said, young man, have a seat. He said, young man, many years ago in October 1942, I was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which hurled us into an adventure of our lives. Somewhere over the Pacific Ocean, there became a problem with the airplane. It began to pitch and it began to fail, and we crash landed. We crash landed actually in the water. Could have died, should have died, but we did not die. He said, then we got out the plane and we found a little rig, and we just stayed on that rig for many days. So long till our food ran out. He said, I remember one time an outer rig, a shark came up. Shark was bigger than a little rig itself, and it could have killed us, but it didn't. That wasn't the baddest part. The sun was shining on us, and I hated the fact that the sun was on us so much, but that wasn't the worst part. And he said, son, the worst part was when we ran out of food. He said, my stomach was talking to my back, and my back was answering my stomach. I was so hungry, and I didn't know what to do. And we were sitting on this boat together. He said, I remember the captain at the time, he began to say a little prayer. He talked to God, and then after saying a little prayer, we talked for a little bit. He said, while they were talking, I dozed off. And all of a sudden, I felt something land on my head. I slowly opened my eyes, and I could see everybody else on the boat. They saw what was on my head. It was a seagull, some kind of way out in the middle of the seagull had landed on my head. Everybody else saw it. It wasn't a seagull, y'all. This was chicken for us. And so he said, they saw it, and I saw their expressions, and I knew if I would be real still, I could catch it. Got ready to catch it, and he reached up and grabbed the seagull. He said, we caught the seagull, and he said, we ate as much of the seagull as we could. But then we were smart enough to use the remainder of the seagull to use that to fish. And that fish, when we caught, was able to keep us until our rescue came. And so I made up in my mind that one seagull gave its life so that we could live. And I said, God, thank you for sending the seagull, but every time I get a chance, I'll make sure I feed the seagull because one gave up himself for us. And he said, son, every time you see me walking on the beach with this pail, I want you to understand I've got it for a reason. Yeah. My brothers and my sisters, our story may not be a seagull story, but the reality is this. When you look back over your life and see how good God has been to you, when you think about how he's delivered you and made a way for you, you ought to have a reason for the praise and the shout and the wave of your hand that you have. And so when people ask you, why do you do what you do? You ought to be able to tell them, I do it for a reason. Yeah. Nudge your neighbor and say, I've got it for a reason. I've got it for a reason. Here we are in the book of Joshua, and it carries on the Old Testament story that ended in Deuteronomy. As the people of God were on their way from bondage to their promised land, Joshua starts when they are leaving out of their time of wilderness. They are close to their promise, but they're not there yet. Joshua begins to take over. God had delivered them from bondage in Egypt and promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. They had wandered in the wilderness under Moses for 40 years. They had seen God lead them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They've gotten hungry and they saw God rain down manna from heaven to feed them. And so when Joshua takes over, they had not made it to the promised land yet. They're close to the promised land, but they still got to cross over the Jordan River. And at the time that Joshua is leading them, the Jordan River is actually overflowing. It's flooded. And God helped them by stopping the flow of the water and enabling them to walk across on dry ground from a place of bondage out of the wilderness to their promise and their blessings. Here we are in chapter 4 of Joshua, and I love how it begins. Verse 1 simply says, the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan. If you're taking notes, if you're looking at your Bible insert, here's our first point. I got here by faith. I got here by faith. Where I come from, old folks would sing a song that said, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, and he's never failed me yet. Now, I was a church boy growing up, went to church with my grandmother. Whether I wanted to or not, she beat me many days to make me go to church. And so I was just there. And because I was there, I learned the songs. I was just singing. I've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, and he's never failed me yet. I would sing the song solely because I was bored and I had nothing nothing else to do. I knew nothing about what they were singing about. They sang with so much passion. Every time they said, I've come this far by faith, they would get emotional. I just thought they were doing too much, doing the most. They just want to show off and show out. It's just words to me. But then I got a little older. I lived a little bit longer. I've experienced some challenges in my life. And when I found myself stuck between a rock and a hard place, when I wasn't sure about am I going to get the job or not, but I prayed. When I wasn't sure how I was going to feed my child, and I prayed. When I wasn't sure if I was going to get into the school or not, but I prayed. Then when I sang, I've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, and he's never failed me yet. It wasn't just words. It became a testimony. It meant something to me. The words, I've come this far by faith, meant God has been there for me. And if you're like me and you've seen God make a way out of no way, if you've seen him open doors for you, if you've seen him give you favor you did not deserve, if you've seen him make a way for you when no other people can make a way for you, then you too can say, I've come this far by faith. In the text, God blocked up the river and they were able to walk across on dry ground, symbolizing how God had already gotten them out of bondage. It's the same sort of thing when they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. That was from bondage, and now they're walking across on dry ground into their promise. I love what's happening in the text because God is continuing to show himself faithful. God is fulfilling a promise that he had given their forefather Abraham when he said, I will make your people a great multitude of people and I will give you a land. He promised them, he made a covenant with them that I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. And what's interesting is that while God made this promise to them, they were not thinking about going into bondage in Egypt. God, I didn't see that in the promise. They were not thinking about wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God, I did not see that in the promise. They were not thinking about getting hungry and for God to send down manna for heaven. God, I didn't see that in the covenant. But what's interesting is while they went through hell and high water, God was still faithful.
Yes.
They had to continue to rely on the Lord. If you were to think about your own life, for many of us, I would dare say life for us haven't been no crystal stair. We've had all kind of splinters there. We've had some difficult days and some lonely times. But in the midst of it all, God has always been there for us. And when we didn't know what to do or who to call on, couldn't call Tyrone or Mama then, but we called on God, we've seen that he has been faithful. And so our testimony has to be just like theirs in the Bible. We've come this far by faith. Then when they get across, that's major because their going across shows that through it all, God kept his word. If you are to think about your own life and your own journey, through it all, God has been faithful to you. Through it all, God has been keeping you. Because the reality is, some of us should have lost our minds a long time ago. The reality is, some of us should have thrown in the towel a long time ago. The reality is, some of us should have quit a long time ago, checked out, God stopped the world and let me off. But God has been keeping you. God has been strengthening you. God has been there for you, holding you up. And so your testimony ought to be like my testimony. I've come this far by faith. It means that God's promise to them in the past still came to pass. It means that the bondage of Egypt could not hold them. It means that the Red Sea did not drown them. It means that the hunger in the desert could not kill them and that the river could not block them. And reality is, in your life, it means that the breakup did not stop you. The backstabbing friends did not kill you. The body that could have given out on you kept going, all because God has been faithful to you. As long as you've kept trusting and believing in the Lord, you will see his purpose for your life come to pass. The fact that they all got to the other side is proof positive that God keeps his word. Once they came across, they're instructed to do something. They're told to go back into the river and get 12 stones from the river and place them into the promised land as a spot where they're going to spend the night. God says, do this as a memorial. And when your children ask what those stones are for, you ought to have a reason to tell them. That gives us our second point. Brothers and sisters, I've got it for a reason. Nudge your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor. Let's try this again. Nudge your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, I've got it for a reason. I often hear from people of the older generation, they talk about the younger generation. I come from a church when I was on staff for 10 years. It's an older church. They used to always complain about the younger generation. I used to do conferences, and they would always tell me all the issues with the younger generation. I remember this one time I did a conference with a lot of seniors, and so I asked them to list all the problems of the younger generation. They began to just list them off. They don't listen. They don't say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. They're disrespectful, and they just went on and on. I wrote them all down. Then I said, thank you all so much. You know what? This whole list is right. And then I asked them a question that made everybody quiet. I said, let me ask you this quick question. Who was supposed to teach them? When they heard that question, they had to become reflective on themselves that they had not instructed the younger generation. Brothers and sisters, as we're preparing for the holiday season, many of us will go out to whatever store you want to go to. As a matter of fact, many of us will go into Walmart and get ourselves a patty pie, and you'll be ready for Thanksgiving. You'll do all of that. You will go shopping on Black Friday, and you'll eat somebody's food. You will do all of that. And we'll get around family and friends, and we'll laugh and we'll joke. But we may very well miss an opportunity to tell somebody a story that will strengthen them in the future. We do a major injustice to generations following us if we do not teach them how we got over. We do an injustice if we do not teach them how God made a way for us. I know there are several people who were part of Uplift as we got started. Minister Rawls and I talk about this all the time. There are some people that see us now and see our flyers, and they'll see the outside of what Uplift does, and they try to mimic the outside, but they never learn how. The challenge for generations to come is they'll see you where you are now, but never knew what it meant to survive off ramen noodles. They never knew what it meant just to make it off some sardines. They never knew what to do when all they had was a little ketchup in a bottle. They never knew about putting water in it and shaking it up. Why? Because we did not tell them that we didn't always have what we had. We had to trust and depend on the Lord. I've got it for a reason. So to ensure that the people of Israel remember their history, God instructed them to build a memorial. And in Hebrew, that means build a remembrance. And God saved them from bondage in Egypt. He told them to remember it by the Passover. When God did something major in their lives, there will often be something that they would do to remember. They would build an altar, or they would do a sacrifice to remember all that God had done for them. But watch this. In the NIV, the text says, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Give them an answer. That's in the New International Version. In Hebrew, here's how it reads. When your children ask, what do these stones mean to you? To give them an answer. There's a major difference there. One says, what do these stones mean? That could have meant, what did it mean for grandmama and them? What did it mean for grandpa and them? What did it mean for auntie and uncles? But no, in Hebrew it says, when they ask, what do these stones mean to you? You ought to be able to give them an answer for it. My brothers and my sisters, when somebody asks you, what does your faith mean to you? Don't tell them what Hebrews 11:1 says. Tell them what it means to you personally. My grandmother couldn't read or write, but she would always say, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. I know what he has done for me. There's a story of a king. He did not believe there was any reason to be thankful to God, this king. He knew of God, but just didn't think there was any reason to be thankful. He thought he had made it on his own. You know, he's self-made kind of man. He had this servant that kept telling him, king, there's all kind of reasons to be thankful to God. King just didn't see it. One day, he and his servant were going out hunting, and a bear attacked the the king. Bear attacked the king. The servant was able to get there in time before the bear killed the king, but the bear bit one of the king's fingers off. King got mad at his servant for not running fast enough. King threw his servant into jail. Servant's in jail. King said, what is there to be thankful for now? Look at my hand. Servant said, the king, God will give you a reason to be thankful.
That's right.
So the king, one day he went out on a walk, just reflecting on life. And some tribal people came and they grabbed the king.
That's right.
They took him back to their tribe. They built a fire and they were getting ready to sacrifice this king unto their God. They had wrapped him up. This king, he had a glove on his hand. He kept having this glove on his hand because he didn't want people to see that he had a missing finger. He was embarrassed about it. And just before they set him on fire, they snatched the glove off of his hand. They saw that he was missing a finger. They untied him, sent him back home. They sent him back home because he was unworthy. He wasn't pure enough. He had a defect. And so then he found a reason saying, God, I thank you for the bear that ate my finger, because had that bear not come, I would have been dead. King found a reason to be thankful. King went back to his servant who's still in jail. Says to his servant, I found a reason to be thankful. They didn't kill me because the bear ate my finger. Then the king said, but servant, you're still in jail. What do you have to be thankful for? The servant began to shout. He said, oh, king, I'm so thankful that I am in jail. But wait, why are you so thankful that you were in jail? King, you don't understand. If I were with you and they saw your defect, then they would have taken me and killed me. But because God allowed you to put me in jail, I'm still alive. Today, he found a reason to be thankful. I want to encourage you today to think about how God has blessed you. Think about what he has done for you. What in your life is a testimony of his goodness? When others ask you, why do you have the house that you have? Oh, I've got it for a reason. When they ask you, why do you drive the car that you drive? Oh, I drive it for a reason. Or the job that you have? Oh, I got it for a reason. Oh, but it goes further than that. When they ask you, why do you have the scars that you have? Oh, I've got them for a reason. When they ask you about the losses in your life, tell them, oh, it happened for a reason. The failure that you didn't succeed on, tell them it happened for a reason. Why? Because God was setting me up for something that I didn't even know was coming. And I learned how to thank him in the high times and the low times, because it all happens for a reason. Our stories ought to be memorials for generations to come that God keeps his word. Our lives ought to be a testimony of the faithfulness of God. As Thanksgiving approaches, we stuff ourselves with patty pies or grandmama's pies, and we laugh and we joke and we spend time with friends and family. I encourage us to look to the next generation as families come together and tell them why you're thankful. Your story will be that which strengthens somebody else to run on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Tell them why. It leads us to our third point, brothers and sisters, that I'll testify on purpose.
Yeah.
The text says, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off so that the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence, could cross in front of them, and they were able to follow God's presence into the promised land. They were instructed to tell their story. The Bible is filled with people who would tell you their story, and they would tell you on purpose. Abraham would tell you that God made me a promise, and even when I doubted him, God was still faithful. Jacob would tell you, I walk with a limp, and others don't understand it, but I don't mind my limp because it reminds me of struggling with the Lord, and I knew he blessed me. So every time I limp, I know God is still blessing me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would tell you, I keep these old clothes. These are my fire walking clothes, because when the enemy tried to throw me in the fire, God protected me. And these old clothes remind me that God will get in the midst of a fire to make sure we are protected. Lazarus would tell you, every time I cross in front of a grave, I can shout because I used to be hung up in that, but the Lord brought me out. Blind Bartimaeus would tell you, every time I see anything, I've got reason to shout because I once was blind, but now I see because he opened my eyes. I've got a reason for it.